tell us a little bit more about the Georgia Guidestones. Sound very peculiar because nobody really knows who ordered it, do they?
No, we don't. Supposedly in 1980 or 1979, a gentleman went to Georgia and he called himself R.C. Christian and gave the local granite builders there enough money to build the monument that sits there and told them what to put on the monument. But we don't know who he was or what he represented except through his name, which is R.C. Christian. Those people who know their occult history know that R.C. Christian, of course, is also a famous figure from the a cult of the 1500s of Christian Rosencrantz, who started the Rosicrucian.
Ah, that's right.
So we have this kind of strange link. Also, Fulcanelli was anonymous. We don't know who he really was, and he called himself Fulcanelli for occult reasons. And so we see that there's these people dotting the landscapes, always trying to, I don't know what, tell us something. They seem like they're almost renegades from some secret society who are using strange ways to communicate to us what's going on. Or they're these people who are from a secret society that knows what's going on because they're psychic, and they've ordered these people to go forth and build monuments, etc. So I don't know what the answer is, except that the Cross of Hende is the same thing. We don't know who built it. We just know that when we decipher the symbiology, I like to say that, you know, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, then a symbol is worth 1,000 pictures. So when you unravel a symbolic thing like the Mayan calendar or the Cross of Hende or even the quatrains or the paintings purportedly to be by Nostradamus, it's like opening up a zip file. There's so much information, if you really investigate it, that pretty soon it's quite impressive. Not only the knowledge that our ancestors had, but the way that they conveyed it through time, which isn't how we do it, through books and things that actually will fall apart in a few hundred years. They put it through things that would last. It was so important to them that this knowledge was somehow kind of put into the backwater of the human mind, waiting for it to emerge. And right now, it's emerging, and it's quite amazing. And where this ends, I don't know. It looks to me that we're at that crossroads now where we're going to go either towards a Terminator fascist nightmare, and I truly mean that, or a world that's environmentally sound, where our children get a good education, where everyone gets enough to eat, and, we may not live in paradise, but at least things are reasonable enough where we can talk to each other and have a little bit of better chance at it. So right now, you know, it's a dicey game, and I don't know which way is going to edge out, and I don't know which way the current administration is going. But either way, over the next few years, we're going to find out if we're going to be heading towards a world of our own design, or we're going to be heading towards a world which is, you know, could even be populated by Terminators or something.
You know. Now, this artifact, the Georgia Guidestones, 20 feet tall. They're made from 6 granite slabs weighing more than 100 tons.
Yes.
And even though that was built in, 79?
Yes.
It had to have cost a small fortune.
Yeah, it did. It did. And the local editor in our film, 2012, The Odyssey, we interviewed the editor of the local paper, the Elberton Star, and he told us at the very end, I asked a kind of a Columbo-like question, you know. I said, hey, one last thing. Are there any Freemasons involved in this? And he said, oh, yeah, there are, in fact. And it turned out that all the people that were the liaisons between R.C. Christian and the Granite Company were the local Freemasons.
Interesting. Now, some of the inscriptions on the stones, listen to this one. Maintain humanity under 500 million. Now, that's one thing you're concerned about.
That's my number one concern, is that they believe that the problem with the planet right now is overpopulation, and that they're actually doing everyone a good thing by creating a situation where there's so much civil strife going on that we all kill each other, to put it bluntly.
Except for them, of course.
Yes, except for them and their citadels, where they're hiding. Yes, and I think that's
or their underground bunkers.
Yeah, somewhere. And I think they all have different plans. I think there's different different hierarchies everywhere. And but I think that's probably the plan. And I think it's going to be happen very soon if there is a plan. At the point that it looks like right now, it's hard to figure out if there is anybody in control anymore. It looks like they're all committing a kind of a suicide by a virtual economy. And they believed that their economy was real, and it isn't real, and it is now falling apart because economies are actually only based on, you know, agriculture, manufacturing, and transportation.
And real trade.
Yeah, exactly. And all this other stuff was all virtual. But here's the thing that goes back to the Georgia Guidestones. If you addict the entire agriculture of the world to oil, and you addict everybody to oil so they forget how to do fundamental things like milk a cow and grow some food in their yard because everybody's living off the oil-saturated agricultural economy, and you pull the rug out from under that economy by raising the price of oil like more than it was temporarily last summer, say there's an incursion in the Gulf of Hormuz or something, and oil rockets up to $12 to $15, you know, for a gallon of gas, which I think is easily possible.
Sure.
You would see the entire underpinnings, the infrastructure of not just the United States, the entire world now, even the most backwater country, their agriculture is almost all oil-based now. They're not using their ancient, they've all lost their ancient farming methods. Those were 40, 50 years ago. This was all financed by the United Nations through the Green Revolution, which was thought up by the Rockefeller Foundation. I'm not saying that there's a conspiracy. I think it was probably done with the very best of intentions to get, you know, feed the people. But what you can see now is that it's so based on oil that all you need is to undercut that one thing and the whole system will collapse. And I will say this, I believe that the reason the markets collapsed in October is because of the high oil prices last summer, sending shockwaves across the market, causing people to begin selling their stocks. Then the market began imploding ever since that occurred. If that happens again, you'll see another erosion of this thing, and then we're going to get into some very worrisome situations. And I know that, you know, the people in charge are thinking about these things, and we all should be thinking about, you know, what we're going to do when this happens.